Living Seed Media brings to you God's Word, which is His comprehensive equipment for changing lives. May the Lord impact your heart as you encounter His Word. For further inquiry or counsel, contact Peace House, P.O. Box 971, Boko, Benue State, Nigeria. Telephone numbers 0703-036-3659. 0703-768-1198. Email address lsmedia@livingseed.org or visit our website at www.livingseed.org. Let us sit back and listen as the servant of God brings forth the word of life.
I want you to turn to John and chapter 4. There have been several illustrations of the kind of thing God is looking for as you enter to the book of John. And actually, I will ask, we will read three passages, and I will set what I'm looking for in the course of these three passages. The first passage is John chapter 2. The next passage will be John chapter 4. Now, in John chapter 2, I want you to all please go to John chapter 2. Now, the popular story was the marriage in Cana of Galilee. But it is not the story of the marriage that concerns us in that passage. It is what God is longing to do in our own lives that we are seeing some strategic illustration of it. But for you to have a clear picture, let's read John chapter 2. And I would like us to read it from verse 1. That's okay. And the third day, there was a marriage in Cana of Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there. And both Jesus was called and his disciples to the marriage. And when they wanted wine, the mother of Jesus says to him, "They have no wine." Jesus said to her, "Woman, what have I to do with you? My hour is not yet come." His mother says to the servants, "Whatsoever he says to you, do it." And there were set there 6 water pots of stone, after the manner of the purifying of the Jews, containing 2 or 3 firkins apiece. And Jesus says to them, "Fill the water pots with water." And they fill them up to the brim. And he says unto them, "Draw out now, and bear unto the governor of the feast." And they bear it. And when the ruler of the feast had tasted the wine, the water that was made wine, and knew not whence it was, but the servants which drew the water knew, the governor of the feast called the bridegroom. And he says to him, every man, at the beginning, God set forth good wine. And when men have well drunk, then that which is worse. But thou hast kept the good wine until now. This beginning of miracles did Jesus in Cana of Galilee, and manifested forth his glory, and his disciples believed on him. Praise the Lord. That is the first passage that draws an illustration of what we sense God is longing to do and to produce in our lives. And you'll be wondering, what is it that we are looking for in this passage? Leave the issue of the marriage on its own. Leave the even the matter of the mother of Jesus. When the Lord Jesus decided to respond to the need, when the matter was brought to him, when managing without wine is no more something that they could tolerate, they need a divine intervention. And the mother of Jesus came with passion to make a request. And even though Jesus said, "My hour is not yet come," but the mother of Jesus was not good. There's no other alternative apart from for Jesus to walk. She simply left the servant at his feet and said, "Whatever he says to you, to do, do it." The Bible said he needed to act. So the strategic action is what I am dealing with tonight. And that's what I sense we are looking at and praying about. Before I go on to deal with this strategy, let me say one thing. I perceive and I know that it is time for the Lord to spring forth something fresh in His church. It is not about promises. It's going to be a reality in our days. It's no more just a sound of abundance of rain. We are already touching the droplets of it. Whereas he said, "My hour is not yet come," I want you to know that this is the hour that he has decided to favor Zion. Except you are not walking in the Spirit of God, that you will not know that we have entered into a season of divine visitation. But what God has decided to do in response to what he is about to do in our generation is what concerns us. Amen. The Bible says there were set there six water pots of stone. After the manner of the purifying of the Jews, containing two or three firkins apiece, and that is dealing with several gallons. A modern version says, each of these water pots is holding 20 or 30 gallons. And, but they had been left outside. They have been abandoned. They were used in the former times after the manner of the purifying of the Jews. And they were standing out there. And yet, the marriage was collapsing because there's no wine. What was Jesus going to do to intervene in what is about to die out? The first response we are seeing with him is that he recognized the water pots. He recognized that the first instrument in bringing a change to a decaying marriage is the water pots. I like to tell you something that if I should say it quickly, God will give you an understanding. Once more, I must tell you that we did not start Millet as an ambition. Millet for us is not a program. It is not that we just also are looking for something to be doing. I don't want to belabor the fact that if God is not being strategic, there was no need for us to embark on Millet at all. And there was not 1 year since Millet began and Millet started effectively about 15, 16 years ago. And I remember when the Spirit of God began to speak. He said, in preparation for his visitation, we must labor to prepare vessels. We must begin to recrop, we should recrop a new vessel for what he wants to do. And it was very, very critical when the Spirit of God brought it back to us. He has spoken about it somewhere in 1980. But because we cannot step into doing anything until he leads you there, we couldn't step step into that. But I remembered that right in that compound, right inside that compound, it used to be the work compound that time. Is it still work? All right. Now, I was lodged in one of the small guest houses there. And the Holy Spirit says, in the pursuit of revival that he's talking about, even if he sends the rain, as long as there are no vessels, it will only cause erosion. That when he has sent rains, and there were no vessels, it has only created gullies. It has only created gullies. And that he was not going to send another rain until we have gathered enough vessels. And that there is no problem with his power. There is no difficulty in heaven about overflooding the earth. But that there was one issue that is holding his hand back for. That there are not enough containers. I hope you are following me tonight. And right in that compound, the Lord spoke and said, now it's time for that thing he spoke about many years back. A deliberate labor to raise men for the coming revival. We took time to pray and to say, Lord, how do you want it done? And I was saying, Lord, how can it be done? You know what happened? This was taking place in September. And I just came back. And as I was coming back to the office, a pastor walked from the village around here and came to meet with me. He said, Brother Gbile, we have been praying. We saw revival before, but the whole thing has finished. And God was laying on his heart that he should bring all his pastors, that they will feed themselves. They will find a place to sleep. They just wish we can spend at least 1 week to train them. So I called Brother Dennis, I called all the brothers around, I said, excuse me, we have entered into something. We walked into Millet not because somebody was agitating to do it. So we spent 1 week with these men. And by the time we were finishing, they said, when can we come again? It was then the Holy Spirit said, do you remember what I said? He said, can you remember what we said? And while I was still contemplating, another missionary, and some of you that were here about a few years ago, you know, we were dedicating a book, a biography of our brother Robert Islam. The missionary to Bassa people. And he said to me, he said, brother, we saw revival before. But the whole thing is going off. And I have been bothered about where to train and prepare my men. He said, all the Bible schools, they are too theoretical, they don't deal with life. Are you thinking of anything to help us? And he also packed all his elders and brought them to Boko. And that was the last thing he did, and he died. Once he brought them, he said, I have brought them because I want them to make sure they keep coming until this matter is finished. I thought he was simply going on follow. 5 weeks after that, he was gone to glory. And I knew the Holy Spirit was saying, in preparation for what is about to happen, the biggest need is vessels. It's not the power of God. The greatest need is not the willingness of God. God is willing to move among us. God is willing to visit his people. God is willing to visit his church. God has spoken and he will not swallow his words. But the need for vessels. Vessels. And God is saying, I will hold on until you have labored with me over vessels. Now, you know why I'm telling you this kind of story? It might look boring, but it will give you perspective. I began to say the perspective for what God is about to do. When you don't understand why God is doing what he's doing, you might just be casual about it. Today, by the grace of God, we have seen Millet grow from 10 people that we started with, 15 people here, now we're in hundreds. And the Lord said to me, it's not about certificates. It's about life. That's why we don't offer certificates. The certificate you will get will be your life. We think it is too cheap to go and print a diploma. We are looking for something that is authentic. So, but I sense that in these several years, God is beginning to speak afresh. That even though the vessels that we have gathered are not yet enough, it is time to move on. It is time for God to begin to do what he wanted to do. And it's becoming difficult for us to hold the rain back. Elijah told Ahab, he said, you must run so that the rain does not stop you. And 3 years or 2 years ago, I was addressing Millet student. I said, we have to run for your preparation so that the rain doesn't stop us. We need to walk quickly so that the rain does not stop us. But I think we have come to a point where we may not be able to hold anything back for too long. And therefore, we do need to ask God for something deliberate for you before you leave here. The first thing that I want to deal with in that verse before I go ahead. Capacity to hold the water. Capacity. You know, I'm noting here now that what will become the quantity of wine that the marriage is going to experience. Who knows what will be the quantity of wine they will get? The quantity of wine they will get. Who knows? Who will tell us what will be the quantity? Eh? Is the capacity of the vessel. Capacity. So when they began to say, you know, these are water pots that can contain 20 to 30 gallons. And that there were six of such water pots. It already meant that the capacity would determine the quantity of the wine that they will get. And the fresh burden that God is laid upon us in these past months is dealing with capacity. God is asking not for shallow vessels. God is not asking us to deal, to have, you know, trenches. God is asking for something that has capacity. And the first thing that God is looking forward to making of your life is to make you a man, a woman of what? Of capacity. Apart from the size of what it can contain, he said containing two or three fakins, 20 to 30 gallons. I noted that they said they were water pots of stone. They can contain, they can hold the wine without cracking. One of the things that have been the greatest problem that had stopped revival over the years is capacity of the vessels. Apart from that, some are not deep enough for what God wanted to do. Others, they are not strong enough to carry what God wants to do. Now, my heart is crying for capacity that God will give us men and women of capacity. When we were meeting in October, God began to speak about the kind of men that he's looking for and the kind of digging that must take place to produce boreholes. He began to say to us that it is depth that determines the capacity of a well. It determines the purity of it. It determines the durability of it. And we began to pray. And I said to God, Lord, if we must continue to labor on lives of people in Millet, we don't just want to grade them. We don't just, you know what we call grader? That thing you use just to clear the space. We need what we create depth for capacity. Because your own capacity will determine the quantity of what we can get. When the woman that was looking for how to pay her debt came to Elisha, you remember what they said to her was, go and borrow vessels, borrow not a few. And the oil was flowing until there was no more vessel to contain it. We saw that what stopped the flow was her capacity. I want you to pray with me tonight for what heaven wants to do in this generation. And some of you cannot yet imagine it. Some of you, because of the environment that you have lived in, you have always thought little about where God is going with your life. You have always imagined that small thing will be enough. You know, last year we were speaking about right, eat, for the journey before you is too long. And we were saying, why was God insisting that this man should eat? Because God was looking at the length of his journey. And tonight again I hear God speaking about capacity. Capacity to contain what is coming. Capacity not only in terms of size, capacity in terms of the strength of the wall that can hold it, that will not allow it to crack and to waste. In the next 3 days, we are going to be speaking to God about that. Before we enter into the main MLR, for several of you that are here, you are going to say to God concerning what is about to happen, what you have been speaking about our nations, what you have been speaking about concerning your church, what you have been speaking about concerning your move that is knocking on us, make me a man, a woman of capacity. Enlarge my heart. You see, when I'm using capacity, the Bible word is enlarge your heart. Is that okay? Enlarge your heart. Say, enlarge your tent. Break forth. That's the kind of thing he's talking about. Now, these six water pots were there. The next thing I saw about them was that they were empty. You know why they have to be empty? If it is not empty, it cannot contain. I was wondering whether some things enter the pot because of disuse, they have to clear them out. They were available. They were empty. They were containers. Thank you. I love the first one. Yeah. When I say they were containers, I mean they were receptive. They are able to take in. Something had been dug out of them so that they can have capacity to receive. I want you to pray, brother, that the things that make you superficial, the things that makes you not to be deep, if it has not been uprooted, if it has not been evacuated, let Jesus do it. That God may increase your capacity for the coming days. I will stop on that. I will stop on that. God will give you understanding. But you know what Jesus did? Fill the water pot with water. Fill it to the brim. And they did so. He didn't do anything else. There was an invisible input. Even the disciples that were feeling it, they don't understand. Oh, thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you. You know why? I want you to know that even those of us that were told to fill the water pots, we may not know, we may not even imagine what will be the effect of what God is doing now. Please, listen. I have got a little more strength to run with this matter. Because I'm hearing the Holy Spirit say, eyes have not seen, ears have not heard what God had prepared for those who love Him. Praise the Lord. You don't understand what God is saying to me. You see, some of you are sitting here and sometimes you look and say, what is this millet all about? What is this meeting all about? And presently, it looks like water. It looks like water. Even the brothers that were feeling it, they were in their mind. What is it? Now water. Now water. Hey, now water. Wait. It is water. is water. Is water. Until the master is ready to use it. Are you hearing me? It is water. Some people say, what are they doing? What is all this? Is that what you are going up and down for? Hey, what is all that water? Yes, 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 yes. It's water. It's water. But when the master says, draw it now. Say, draw it out now. In fact, I'm so excited with the way he said it. He didn't say, draw out the wine now. Hallelujah. You know what he did? He didn't. Let the water change to wine now. Let it. So that you will start seeing it bubbling. The thing is changing. No. It was still water. When the master was now ready, say, draw the water out now. Even the master called it water. He said, the water that you have put, draw it out now. It was then. All the MC of the ceremony, they started saying, where have you kept this until now? Don't worry. That's how it will be. Men will begin to shout, where have you kept this until now? People will say, where did you keep this kind of men and women until now? Where are they coming from? Who trained them? Who made them? I just need to share that with you before we go. I just want you to know that even to you, it might look like water, but there's something there. There is something that will turn the story of our generation around. I think we will do this thing a little more. We will press more. We will put in all our heart. It might look like water, but when the master said, draw out now and bear to the governor of the feasts. Why it was in the pot? Water. But when it is to be carried out, it became wine. All I am waiting for now is that instruction. Draw out now the water that you have poured, that you have fetched. Take it out now. Take it to the governor of the feasts. Take it into the nations. Take it into the lands. Take it out now. Ordinary in the pot.
Ordinary, no. The
but wine when it got to the feast.
Man, lorsque le vin est allé à la
Praise the Lord. Do you know that the last thing that's peculiar about this, and I'd like you to note it before I go, and it is very important for me to say that, and I pray that you will catch it because it's important. I want you to see this. When the ruler of the feast had tasted the water that was made wine, and knew not whence it came from, but the servant which drew the water knew. The man called the bridegroom and said, every man at the beginning set forth good wine, and when men are well drunk, that which was worse. But you have kept the good wine until now. Why did you do this? I noticed that the brothers that were carrying the water, do you know that even to them, how did it sound? Eh? It was water, ordinary water. I think it's for our deliverance. It is for our deliverance. So that you don't get intoxicated on the road. So that it will look ordinary. So that you can remain simple. Are you hearing me? So that you can remain humble. If you started knowing that it is wine, and you started drinking the wine on the road, you will have been intoxicated. But it is ordinary. It's water. Even when we are serving, it is water. Something you will say, people, you will say, well, what did I preach? Nothing came out. Wait until the governor of the feast, when they begin to taste it, they will shout. But their shout will be after you are gone, so that you can live long. I don't want to live long. You want to live long under the anointing. Eh? Let it remain water. Let it appear ordinary. Let it appear as if God didn't do anything. Because you know, when they fetch the water, if he prayed, we will say, yes, he did something. If he spat on the floor and mixed it a bit, if he spoke in tongues and said, you water, I command you, become wine. And then the color changed. The disciples may have thought that, yes, something happened. But they just fetched the water. They are the one that went to fetch the water. They knew where they got the water. They are the one that poured inside here. And he didn't touch it. He only said, carry it out. Lord, thank you. There are some peculiar things that God is doing. It doesn't look like what you are expecting him to do. Is for our safety. Is for our deliverance. It makes us simple. Yesterday we were coming on the road, and our vehicle broke down, and we needed to repair it. and we went to a mechanic. And I was telling the brother in the car, I said, if I stand out here now, there may be one or two persons that will say, Brother Gwile. So I said, no, I won't come out. As if I knew. So after a while, when I thought that the place was safe, I just came out. And as I just stepped out, come and see a drama. Somebody there that I never expected that I know, or he knows me at all. Welcome, sir. Welcome, sir. I try to ignore it so that it won't be anything. My brother that we are traveling with, sir, the way you are greeting, it looks as if then the man say, is that no brother Billy? Is that no brother Billy? That was the end. They were ready to pay for the repair of our vehicle. Another person was passing. He said, come. If we stayed longer, there would be a crowd. This one said, look, it's a privilege for meeting you, sir. Oh, I listened to one message. I cannot forget it. This one said, oh, the other message for teachers. We gather all the teachers in our school. That was what we were watching on the video. Oh, you don't know us. We are your secret disciples. I hope you know it's for my safety. So that we can remain ordinary. We can remain ordinary. Ordinary water. But there's something there. May God give you capacity to drink what God is presenting to you. May you know that it is as we draw you out that the reality of what God wanted to do with your life will begin to break forth. May you know that the marriage is waiting for you. They are all tired. They have listened to so many gimmicks. And they are hungry for reality. And they are wondering, when will they get that reality? That is what God is doing. Quiet. Uncelebrated. But there's something there. Will you pray about that tonight? Capacity. Now, the next story. Jesus sat by the well. No time to talk about the woman of Samaria. We're not having time to talk about the woman. But here was this woman coming. And Jesus was looking at the capacity of this woman. And Jesus looked at her and said, Madam, give me a drink. Can I inform you? What does that woman, useless woman that have married 6 husbands, what water can she give Jesus? You see, but when Jesus was looking at her, he wasn't looking at her past. He wasn't even looking at her present problems. He sees what this woman is capable of becoming. And And he began to say, I want to drink from you. I'm going to drink from your life. I'm going to drink from your life. Of course, she doesn't have what she can give. Can I inform you tonight? When Jesus demanded a drink from that woman, it was to set her heart to look for something beyond. Jesus said, if you have known the gift of God, and who is he that is speaking to you to give him a drink, you will have asked me to give you my own water. Whosoever drink of this one, he will thirst again. Whosoever shall drink of the water that I shall give him. Listen now. He said, the water that I will give him will become in him a well. Can you imagine God looking for a human being in whom a well is located? Are you hearing me? In whom a well that is springing up to eternal life is located. And that was what Jesus wanted to do for that woman. Hallelujah. I'm still searching. What did Jesus do to that woman? I don't know. I'm talking to you about something I wish you will understand. Do you know that as at the time when the disciples came, Jesus had not even prayed for the woman. He didn't lay hands on him or her. They only came to a point where Jesus said, I who speak to you, I am he. I am the Messiah you are talking about. That was the point. And that was enough. And that woman dropped the bucket she was carrying and went back to town. And I'm surprised. What went with her? That she spoke. And the Bible said the whole city, all the men of the city, they ran behind her. They ran behind her. And they came. And they saw. And they would not go. And they remained with Jesus. And for another 2 days. What kind of thing did God do to that woman? That's the perspective we are talking about. Are you looking for such? Do you know that as at the time that the disciples came, do you know that the way they were looking at her, who is this woman? Who is this woman? Who is this woman? They don't know that in that woman is a vessel that will drag the whole of Samaria to the Savior. They don't know. Ordinarily, on the outside, nothing. Unlikely. But when Jesus encountered her, Samaria never remained the same. Are you here? And you are going through this exposure. And it may appear to you as if, me, I don't understand. There is something coming. But while she was here, nothing. But while she went, the whole Samaria ran after her. This millet class is very, very special. Because we are going to send you out with a perspective. We are going to commission you with a perspective. We are going to cry and pray and say, God, as we draw this water out, it will be wine there. Here, water. There, wine. Are you hearing me? Here, now ordinary water. Out there. Here, ordinary woman with a pot of water on her head. Disciples didn't even greet her. But out there, she was the evangelist. Glory to God. Here, we won't even allow her to lead Bible study. But there, everybody say, hey, what did you say? You met him? Can you lead us to him? Can we go with you? Can we follow you? The whole Samaria. And finally, in chapter 7, Jesus said, if any man thirsts, let him come to me and drink. For whosoever believes on me, out of his belly shall flow rivers. I don't know how to explain that tonight. Because we're going to just pray. Out of his belly shall flow rivers. Not just one river, sir. Rivers. This is a very strange concept. That out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. And he said he spoke about this concerning the Holy Ghost that they were going to receive. As we stop tonight, I first just want to ask you, do you know that God? Do you know that God is thinking not about your past, not even about what you are today? He's looking at what he can possibly make out of your life. Do you know that the reason why God has bothered you to come here from all the places where he has brought you. When they say you are going to Boko, what is there? What is there? I met a brother, a man of God. He was going to greet me. How are you? I said, I'm very fine, sir. Sir, where is that place where you are now? I said, you know I'm still in Boko, sir. He said, Kai, I learned that you are doing some things in that place. Is there any airport? I said, no, sir. He said, you know, I can't come there. I said, we'll be praying when we have the airport. We'll invite you, sir. You know what he said? He said, okay. He's a poor man. May the Lord do what he says he wants to do with your life. May his reason for dragging you to this place, may it become apparent in the coming days. May men on your account shout, where have you kept this until now? May the church, the body of Christ, may they find answers to their many, many questions because of what God will do in your life. I thought it's okay for us to pray tonight. Lord, grant me perspective for what you are doing with my life. Would you like to stand with me as we pray? Would you like, if you have understood what God is saying, it appears like water, but there's something there. Would you like to pray? Increase my capacity. Grant me perspective for what is about to be with me. Some of you have started seeing a bit. Some of you, you went somewhere to preach and people were looking at you and said, where did you get this? But that is little yet, though. You will see greater things. Would you like to pray with me? Let's pray together. It's still looking ordinary. It's for your safety. It's because heaven wants to preserve you. Please pray. Just say to God, Lord, tonight, what you are doing with me, what you are doing with me, go ahead and accomplish it. Where you are going with my life, go all the way to it. Fulfill your divine counsel about my life. Does it look like water? Does it look like a woman that can do nothing? Does does it appear as if it is ordinary? Because you've not seen the perspective. I want you to deliberately pray tonight. There are two categories of people that are praying tonight. Some of you just said, well, let's just go through. But we know that there was something God was aiming at. Vessels that will bring about a turnaround. Walls that will resource whole of Samaria. People like Philip that will turn Samaria upside down. Lord, we know you're going to do it. Lord, whatever you are doing, do it, complete it. Whichever way you have started, go ahead with my life. Those things that you have determined to do, the perspective, the dimension of it, no will come short. And the Spirit of God may have witnessed to you tonight. The Lord may have put a witness in your heart tonight. That God is speaking deliberately about you. Ask the Lord tonight. I put my hand in your hand. It might look like water. Keep digging my life. Keep increasing my capacity. When you will draw me out, it will become a blessing to my generation. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah tonight, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'd like to go on to prayer right now. Just one more prayer point. Please listen. Listen in the name of the Lord. You are going to pray, but just listen to this. When they draw them out, that was when the wine broke forth. While she was standing there with Jesus, there seemed to be nothing there. Out there, she became a magnet that was drawing the hundreds, the thousands of the whole city. There's something peculiar about this meeting. And so I want us to pray together. The Lord, my being drawn out must bring an outburst to the kingdom of God. Can you pray about that simply? There's going to be an outburst. You are not just going out of Millet this year only to return to status quo. No. Yes, while you have been here, it looked like ordinary water. It looked like nothing to talk about. Oh God, thank you for speaking again tonight. Thank you for what kind of impartation you are going to bring here.
thank you for the kind of invisible addition that you are going to bring to our lives. Thank you, Lord, that these men and women that have come from nations, that have come from different parts, that have come from South Africa, from Millet, they have come from different parts of the world. Ah, Father. Father. Though in our eyes they look like water, that invisible, undramatized increase, bring it into this man's in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. Thank you. Would you like to say to God, that thing that you have started to do with me, I will not go until you have put that invisible addition into this life of mine. In the next 3 nights, we will be dwelling on this matter. Can you just say to God, and whatever it is that remains for you to uproot, do it. Do it. Do it, Lord. You will do it. So, Lord, I pray for them tonight, that invisible input, that increase that comes from heaven, that which we ourselves cannot do, you will do it. As I pray for our Millet students, so I speak to you for these brothers and sisters that have come from other nations for this meeting. The kind of input that is unsuspecting, that even they themselves may wonder, what has he done to us? Only to arrive at their destination and to meet people shouting, you will do it. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name, amen.